You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So we were talking before we started recording, and I think that the four of us are in a pasta food coma without even actually having had pasta, with the exception of one of us.
I know.
Jenna. Anyways, but it's the perfect state to be in to talk about this film.
It's true.
The Life Ahead, just released on Netflix. And starring the one and only screen legend, the first lady of Italian cinema, as far as I'm concerned, Sophia Loren, in her first film in several years, actually. And basically, this is a really, you know, sort of character-driven story about a Holocaust survivor who at one point was a prostitute. And now is in her 80s and is spending her life taking care of the children of other prostitutes. And she comes into contact through funny little way.
Happenstance.
Happenstance, yeah, with this young boy named Momo, played by Ibrahima Gaye, who is a refugee and whose mother passed away. And through various circumstances, he ends up being one of her children who ends up living with her. And even though they can't stand each other, you know, stemming from the fact that he mugged her upon their first meeting, they eventually develop an understanding and a respect for each other. And they both go on kind of a journey which really sort of changes them in ways they didn't expect. So with me, I'm Frank, by the way, sorry. With me, I've got Mark.
Hello.
Jordan.
Buongiorno.
And Jenna.
Heidi ho there, neighbor.
Pasta loving Jenna. We're a pasta loving group, by the way. So we're just gonna say we love our carbs here.
We are.
But
yes.
It's the angel hair for me.
You see,
it's
okay, yeah, because Jordan was saying before it was the what was yours?
Alfredo.
Yours is the Alfredo.
Alfredo is my favorite, particularly this seafood Alfredo that my sister-in-law Sarah makes.
And Mark?
And also lots of garlic bread.
I'm kind of boring. Linguine and clams or linguine and oil and garlic.
Ooh,
those are my favorites.
Boring? That's very classic.
give me some stuffed ravioli and I'm the happiest guy in the world. So, but yeah, garlic bread. Jordan, garlic bread. Much you can get.
Yeah. I don't care about my weight. Fuck it.
What do you guys think of this?
I feel like this is one of those cases where pretty much standard material is lifted up solely because of the talents that are performing it. Like this, it just feels like a, you know, boilerplate sort of drama, but you put Sophia Loren in there, who will just act the shit out of everything. I mean, the first...
So naturally and effortlessly.
Yes, exactly. Like, the first thing I ever really saw her in, and this will maybe show my age, like, the fucking Grumpy Old Men movies. It was like, I was just a stupid fucking kid. I was like, I don't know who the hell she is. I didn't know her revolutionary role into the world of film. But, yeah. You know, afterwards, it's like, oh, she's a big fucking deal. And
she is a big fucking deal.
And I grew to appreciate her more. And again, this is just like, you know, if this were anyone else, I'd be like, eh. But Sophia Loren is like, oh, this is elevated much higher.
Oh, yeah. Hey, she's good enough for Sinatra. She's good enough for me.
I mean, you look at her leading men and like from the 50s and 60s and 70s. I mean, you got Clark Gable.
Oh, she was, I mean, she was stunning.
Slinging it.
Paul Newman, like every Cary Grant, like really romanced her and really, really, really was in love with her.
He was.
Yeah.
I mean, Ava Gardner is always going to be my favorite.
Oh, is she?
Good taste.
We are literally twins, personality wise. But Sophia Loren was always one of my most coveted actresses. I mean, I think if it wasn't for the titular character, Momo, and I am not going to attempt to say his name in real life, only because...
Yeah, we should just apologize to people of all nationalities.
I had to... So I looked up his name. I think it's
Ibrahima Gaye.
I did that YouTube video that Ibrahami Gaye.
I tried that.
Ibrahami YouTube, Gaye. The phonetics.
That's beautiful.
Ibrahami. Okay.
Ibrahami Gaye. Yeah.
Isn't this thrilling content, everybody? Ibrahima.
Who is, we should say, he's fantastic.
Ibrahima.
Who, by the way, should.
He's the one that can keep up with her.
Oh,
he is just amazing. This is such a great, like, this is one of those child performances that really, you can tell, like, there's an old soul in there. And just his instincts and whatnot.
He definitely carried the film. I mean, actually, all the characters in this film, whenever they were on screen, they all, even the kids in this film.
I liked Abril Zamora, too. She was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all did a really great job. And I was happy that with one of the characters, their identity was not the story.
Not at all,
Yes, very Lola. Yeah, I personally loved it. Gee, wonder why.
Yeah. She was absolutely beautiful.
It was the wardrobe, Jordan. It was the wardrobe. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
She was just fucking fantastic. And
she's the light of the film.
Yeah, she was. She you know, the pace like picked up. Not that it was a bad pace before that, but it's sort of like this burst of energy came in every time she walked in the room. You know, she brought it with her and
She had a radiance.
Yeah.
Especially in the scene where she dances with Sophia
really
Loren. It's just like, that alone just tells you this is someone important. Yeah. This is, you know, someone that matters. And yeah, I want to highlight Momo because the kid, Gaye.
Sophia.
I was going to use last name just to
Sophia Loren.
Avoid stupidity on my part.
But you must call her Sophia Loren.
I know that. I took cinema history too. He is fantastic. Like even before he comes into contact, you know, really gets to fully develop with Loren's character, Madame Rosa. It's just like, okay, I'm really impressed. But again, you have someone of Sophia Loren's caliber, and you're thinking, he's got to really step his game up, somehow. If it's like, you know, you got this big legend right here who doesn't, you know, just come out for anything.
Yeah.
And they're fucking fantastic together. I adore their relationship.
Yeah, I did too. Do you know what? I think that it works, and I think this is where this movie sort of like differs from like the. I mean, it's so. I mean, how many times have you seen the grouchy senior and the
rambunctious
and
kid.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that. There's nothing really cuddly about this.
No,
about this film in terms of their relationship. You know, it's not. There's no scene of them laughing, making a pie.
These are two very practical souls.
They've been
through the wars, literally.
They both had like a lot of. They both have, you know, they're both angry at the world and they're angry at what the world has done to them in a lot of ways. And they
and
understand
they don't give
each other
bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a weird, even from the beginning, they may hate each other at first, but there is a definite respect there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, without question. I will say, I think that this, we should mention this film was directed by Eduardo Ponti, Sophia Loren's very gorgeous son. And I think that he also adapted the film from the Romain Gary novel. And I gotta say, this is a really great adaptation in terms of the dialogue, because it's got those lines that aren't really just, you know, they aren't sappy, but they surprise you with the emotion and the practicality. There's that one when he's at one point, Momo gets a job in a local antique store and he's restoring a rug or a tapestry of some sort. And the owner says, "Oh, you're good at that." And he says, what's that line? I usually find I'm good at things I can't stand. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a great line.
I caught on to that line too. I actually wrote that down.
that honestly has just become one of my favorite quotes.
Right? Yeah. It's got resonance. Later on, there's a scene with the two of them when something really emotional happens, and Madame Rosa says to Momo, "It's you know, I know you're feeling down, but it's precisely when we give up hope that good things can happen." And I love that. I just love the simple wisdom in that. And it's not overly schmaltzy, and it's not there, you know, necessarily.
That's one thing I gotta commend this movie for. Because again, you know, with this sort of, you know, standard, even substandard material, it's gonna, like, I was like, I can almost hear the fucking Hallmark movie chorus, like, waiting to play their, you know, the orchestra.
See, I never felt that with this film. I never felt any, like, all that. Blindside type stuff.
That's what I'm
film.
Saying. I didn't feel that. No, that's what I'm saying too. I didn't feel that. When you get to the beats that you're expecting, it's done with this honesty that, you know, this shit ain't working out. Mm-hmm. Maybe you gotta try something different. Maybe you gotta keep going with it until something different happens. It honestly resonates. It's one of the more relatable movies, humanity wise, I've seen this year. That because it is a movie about life in a lot of ways, and yes, it's these two broken souls that somehow you know, connect with each other, you know, one that's just starting out and the other that is, you know, that's done it all, that's seen it all.
Sorry, I was waiting because I finally found the film that I wanted reference this. that's why I was like dodging. I forget when I'm on camera, like people can see me. But Summerland was another film that I felt tackled this
dynamic.
This dichotomy or this relationship between like the older generation with the younger generation and, you know, the older generation not really wanting to move on or deal with it. There's a specific scene in this film where, you know, she sees African folks being displaced and she turns her back. She's like, come on, let's go, let's go. And meanwhile, you know, you're sitting there thinking like, how could this person who survived the Holocaust, you know, turn their back on something that is similar and very triggering for her, which is people being displaced from their homes through immigration. And so it's like this confrontation. Summerland didn't really have that, like a political note, but it definitely had the emotional notes of the same thing of just like folks, older folks being in denial about things that they live through or a life they're trying to just, you know, live out and day in and day out. They don't really want to shake things up. And the fact that both of the main female characters have a very nice turnaround in their characters makes both of these films very rewarding. It very much is the acting for me. The directing as well. The directing was very good in this film. Everything felt very organic, very natural. You know, Momo is... he's an asshole, but he's not unlikable. You know, he's a hard-headed kid, but...
He's very likable, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. He's a little shit. Sophia Loren was right.
Say that I think that this movie, because one of the things that's always bugged me is I have a really hard time with the likability factor.
That's kind of what I liked about it. I liked that he was honest.
Chris and I have gotten into this before because, you know, I know to subscribe to the notion that that a character needs to be necessarily likable for me to actually like, you know, them. Like they, you know, I always say I don't want to watch a movie that about kids that work for Greenpeace. You know, I want to watch somebody. I really care about what the truth of a person is, what their actual truth is, who they are genuinely and authentically on the screen. And I just don't really like if you give somebody a pet or something, like, I don't know, that's a trick that writers like to do, that, you know, just give something to soften the edges of the character. And that really comes across as really obvious and phony. And I don't think that was the case here. I think that these people are have rough edges to them, which, you know, are sort of smoothed out as you go along, but they're never made to be like, oh, gee, I wish I could hang out with them sort of levels, which really sort of, you know, diminishes the realness of the film.
I mean, that's a hallmark of American filmmaking. You know, we make likability something that equals relatability.
So the Margie in the Midwest can like it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this clearly is not an American-made film. I mean, funny enough, as much as I like the acting, I will not watch this movie again.
Nope.
I want to watch it again. I really want to. Because also, we didn't talk about how beautiful it is. Because the...
I wouldn't mind watching it with somebody else again.
The cinematography I thought was really great. Like, I thought the shots of seaside Italy were just like really beautiful. And I love really tragic stories that are shot really beautifully.
There is a shot right after the tragedy we will not speak of where there is this beautiful, beautiful sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's the money shot, mm-hmm. man. That's it right there.
Yeah, then again, this is a movie set in Italy, and I reviewed, that Liam Neeson movie, Made in Italy.
Oh, God, earlier. We were on that together.
Yeah. I reviewed that earlier. It's like, look, if I know one thing, the cinematography alone will be worth it, because it's hard to make Italy look...
But that, Jordan, that was picturesque Italy in that film. This is like the city that really, like, doesn't, for all intents and purposes, people aren't really clamoring to get us to buy a condo here, you know?
That shot's in the middle of an urban setting, and it really works out.
But here's the thing. It still looks fucking great.
So that's a good cinematography.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of hard to fuck up.
Because it's really bothering me. This is the thing I didn't like about this film, because films like, you know, Portrait of a Lady on Fire... or Summerland, even, you have these very, you know, the background, the environment is very beautiful, it's very picturesque. But this was also a film school movie. And I say that because he does what my professor says. I love my professor. Shout out to my professor. I'm probably one of the only students who ever liked him. Where he says, look, Ma, I'm directing. So he was a really hard professor, but I liked him. But he was right. Now I understand what he was saying in class, though, where it's like, I could pick up Bicycle Thieves. I could pick up on the 30s poetic realism in here. The rubble, the shout out to the rubble films of that time, that era. And they literally took shots from Italian neorealist films.
But it was so gorgeous, I didn't care.
But did it come across as authentic, though? Because this is his background.
It is. And that makes sense now that you said that. It didn't come off inauthentic. It just... For me, it's like we've already seen it. So, like, I want to see Italian neorealism in the now, especially because you're bringing in a black character, which you did not see that back when those films were popularized. Yeah. You know what I mean? You didn't get that type of, you know, LGBTQ. You didn't get that representation. So it was kind of just like, to me, it just kind of took me out because I know all these films and I've seen so many films that I was like, all right, it's very pretty. It's done very well. You know what you're doing. You know, it's not a question of competency here, but I feel like it was just played a little too safe and a little Oscar baity.
But if it's authentic to that world, I think that's ultimately what's going to sell it.
But that's the thing. What world are we really entering? Because we're just thrust into their lives. And it wasn't a lot of world building. It was just like, here are all these pretty scenes. We're following these characters. But I still didn't really feel like I was a part of this world.
Oh, I did.
Oh. And I kind of got drawn into that. Because I kind of liked that it was a sort of, you know, it wasn't that picturesque. It was shot in a picturesque way, but it wasn't a picturesque like surrounding, and I kind of like that it was sort of like frozen in time.
Okay.
I love that it wasn't this sort of like, you know, spilling over with modernity, and it wasn't like, you know, there was like, you know, it would have broken my heart to see a Starbucks anywhere in this. You know?
Oh, God, no. I would never want a Starbucks.
So, but yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think for me, it was just, it wasn't enough to where I disliked the film. But it definitely was like, all right, you're asking for an Oscar, honey. Like, just give it to him. You know what I mean? Like, just give him the Oscar.
Hope they get it.
No, it was very much like Bicycle Thieves.
As that former film school student, I resent that, yet also like, yeah, you got a point. But honestly, I still love how this movie was shot.
Yeah, well, like I said, I didn't find the cinematography that overwhelming. Honestly, the story was dynamic enough where... they sneak it in a lot of the times. Like, oh no, somebody's getting chased. Oh no, somebody's getting mugged. Uh-oh, go to the hospital. And you're like, okay, well, look at this. I mean, and also it wasn't just postcard shots. And like, I mean, like that, like I said, that sunrise scene wasn't an urban setting. It was dingy as hell. That little bit of beauty made the statement in the middle of all the crap.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what this movie's about.
I kind of like that. I kind of like watching like beauty in something that has no right to be beautiful at all.
Right.
I love that dichotomy. But yeah, why don't you go ahead and roll us into final thoughts, Mark?
I'll go into the negatives, which are very scant. The material was kind of... Then again, I realize that I'm listening to translations and dubbings and subtitles. So I'm like, I have a hunch in Italian, it's a completely different experience. So I'm going to let that one go. I love this movie because it, again, I said the characters were no bullshit. This was no bullshit. This was a movie that basically did not talk down to you. It did not spoon feed you a damn thing. It doesn't give you little musical stings. It doesn't give you little prompts. Oh, look, they're friends now. Look, we're going to have a montage. Yes. No, the relationship progresses.
God.
Right? Yeah. He's my best friend. No, none of that. And it's not that kind of, they're not either one. They've both been through the wars, literally. And they both are bound together. Honestly, if there's a theme that this movie's about, it's about trauma. This whole movie is about trauma, lasting and lifelong trauma. And I work with kids like that. I work with kids like Momo. And I've had kids that were just as bad, if not worse than him, that I kind of like. And they are nasty little bastards, you know, sometimes. But there's also that one little thing they do that gets through to you, you know, and you realize that, okay, they can't really show it, but they need something, and there's vulnerability there. And every time Guillet, is that how you pronounce his name? This is what he was so good at. He was so good at, oh, yeah, I'm a ruthless little bastard. I'm thinking about becoming a drug pusher. And then you see, you know, these weird times where he reaches out, and you see him getting slapped back gently sometimes, harshly at others. And you see him, you know, the tenderness and the honor of him coming out. And that's the story to me, you know, and and what I love is Sophia Loren is definitely, you know, one of those great divas of cinema, but she's not pulling that here. She's framing it perfectly for this kid to do his thing. And that doesn't mean that she isn't riveting. She's telling a story beyond just the regular script. And she does it very well through everything she does. She has moments that made me want to cry because I could see what she was doing. So I truly, I think it's a really spectacular movie. I think the cinematography is complex, but not overwhelming. And I would rate this 8 out of 10 maternal lionesses.
Oh yeah. I love that image. I really thought that was so sweet. The first time it freaked me out. Then the second time I thought it was really sweet. Jordan, what do you think?
Yeah, as I said before, this is like just usual standard material, but it is elevated by the elements that really, you know, bring it together. Sophia Loren is bringing it as usual. fucked it up.
I don't even have the courage to try it.
Yeah, as Momo is wonderful, and yes, even the LGBTQ. You know, the queer representation with Avery Zarmola was fantastic. This is a movie that is just all about life. It is about trying to survive. And yeah, as Mark also brought up, it is a movie that, you know, trauma is the central theme here. And what that can do to someone who is trying to live past it or hasn't really gotten over it. You know, it still very much affects their lives. It is a gorgeous movie. I also want to bring up the music is fantastic. This is
good score.
Is a well-scored movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think if it wasn't for all the actors, like everyone in front of the camera, if this were like an entirely different cast movie or something, I wouldn't feel as effective as it was. It wouldn't be as good. And I honestly came out of this loving it way more than I thought.
Me too.
I'll give it 9 out of 10 candlesticks.
You both took my picks. So,
hey, rugs are still open.
You made me go first, man.
Jenna, why don't you? I can't because I'm the chorus. I need to go last. But Jenna, why don't you go ahead and give us your final thoughts? You know, capped off by the rating, which I'm not going to use. Also, so
yeah, I was like, I already have my rating, but it's different. I mean, coming off of a film I saw recently called His House, I'm becoming a lot more well-versed in the variety of stories of the Black diaspora, and just what it's like to truly lose so much while trying to find a new home. I think that's why this resonated with me. This film, it did touch me. It touched me almost like how Antoine Fisher touched me, because there's a lot of similarities between Momo and I. And there was a lot of things that were triggering this film, and the fact they do talk about and deal with trauma regarding home, regarding mothers. It was, and like His House is the same thing. It deals with family and the family dynamic and being Black, no matter where you are in this world, and trying to survive in a world that really doesn't see you at all. And I think this film did a very good job of handling all the ways these characters intersect politically, emotionally, psychologically, in a way where it wasn't being preachy, it wasn't trying to uplift people. And I was appreciative that it wasn't handled by an American filmmaker. I appreciate that it was handled by someone who is competent and empathetic and really just wanted to share this story. And I appreciate everyone who worked on this film. It was a really beautifully made film. It was shot wonderfully. To me, it was Oscar baity, but I mean, that's the negative, if that's really a negative. You know what I mean? Like,
it was good for an award.
Me, you know,
I was wondering.
Right? Yeah. You know, I've seen one too many films. I'm making films. So, of course, I'm going to pick out, you know, the inspiration here, the director there. I'm going to automatically pick it out. But that's just me. But I really do appreciate this film. And I really cannot wait for Momo to see what more he does. This character definitely lives in my heart, and I really wish I could take him home with me. So I will rate this film 8 out of 10 times I mistake Sophia Loren as the Italian mom of Bob's Burgers. I don't know why. I kept looking at her. It was like, why does she look like the mom from Bob's Burgers? But she...
Well, that's a rating God. That I was not going to take. So,
oh, God, you're going to ruin Bob's Burgers for me now, aren't you?
I got to say,
Yeah,
I think that we are all like on very similar pages of how similar pages rather of how much we like this. I will go ahead and say that I'm going to slightly disagree with Jordan a bit, in the sense that I think that the one line set up premise of this film is familiar, but nothing else about it really is. I mean, I think what saves it from being formulaic in any way is that it's driven by the characters rather than the plot. And it's driven by characters who are so deeply flawed in very profound ways that the movie wisely never sits down and has like an out-and-out discussion about. You know, you never really hear about her Holocaust experiences. You never really hear about why, or, you know, the details of his mother's death, according to him. They're there, but they're not... it's not like a grief buffet.
Yeah, no flashbacks. Yeah,
exactly. At the same time, there is magic in here, like that symbol of that lioness. It mixes the tender and the sort of emotional in a very real way. It makes for compelling cinema. And I think that there's always going to be room for a film about damaged people helping, you know, leaning on each other and helping other damaged people. And even though they, you know, these two are at opposite ends of the spectrum, it's a film that really showcases how damaged people are, you know, come in all different shapes and sizes, and you never know what they can get from each other. This is well shot. It's well scored. Sophia Loren is amazing, and I'm glad they gave her such a young co-star, because Gaye probably doesn't know who Sophia Loren is. Or
there's no weight on him, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he can just act his natural self and not worry that, you know, he's acting opposite the first lady of Italian cinema.
Yep, True, that
he's
is true.
He's just acting his tuchus off. That's all he's doing. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. No, totally. I really like this, and I really love seeing Sophia Loren again. She's made less than 20 films since the early 80s, so it's a pleasure for her to see her on screen, and I'm just going to end my final thoughts by giving a shout-out to my two favorite Sophia Loren films, a comedy directed by Charlie Chaplin, starring her and Marlon Brando, called The Countess from Hong Kong, and then the psychological thriller with her and Anthony Perkins called 5 Miles to Midnight. So, kids, if anyone that and once more.
Yeah, 5 Miles a Minute.
Oh,
y'all,
God, it's so great.
That's the one. I may watch that tonight. You brought that
it.
Back.
Go
I may
for
have
it.
To watch that tonight.
Go for it. And yeah, they're both really great, and they showed her versatility. So on that note, I love this. I really want everyone to see it. I hope everybody sees it, as many people as they can. And so I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 bowls of spaghetti a day, because someone once asked Sophia Loren at the height of her sex pot era, saying, how are you so sexy and glamorous? And she says, it's my one bowl of spaghetti a day.
Yes, honey. Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I love her so much.
I love her too.
I love her so much.
Even in like Grumpy Old Men 2, she was gorgeous.
I know.
She was.
She's great.
Yeah.